We warmly welcome George as our speaker for this Monday night Crew Miracles meeting on June 8th. When you speak, it is considered implied consent to have your voice and your share recorded and posted on oafootsteps.com as a podcast. To preserve your anonymity, please use only your first name or an alias when you share. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. And George, I will turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you, Olivia. My name is George. I am George G, a compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, and I am very grateful to be here. Pat, thank you for asking me to fill in. And yeah, so I guess I could start with what was it like? Oh, I can qualify real quick. So today is day 459 days of back-to-back abstinence. Thank you guys. Thank you guys, of course. My top weight was 260 pounds. At my last weigh-in, I was 170 pounds. And I've been in the OA and then another program called CEA How, Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, How here in the San Gabriel Valley of Los Angeles for a combined like 20 years. Just been around for a long time and obviously don't have that long. I only have 459 days and it's been a real struggle. But so what was it like? Growing up, I remember my first food incident. I was about 12 or 13, and I was always the nervous kid, the anxious kid. I bit my nails. I just didn't fit in. I was a mess. I was a mess. And I remember one day, I'd used food a few times before to kind of check out, and I just remember one time it was my mom and I were doing a garage sale in the summer. And I remember, are we allowed to mention food? I think, right? Okay, great. So I remember we had like an egg salad sandwich for lunch, and it was so yummy and so good. And it was time to go back to the garage sale, and I so wanted another one. And even though my mom said no, I said, "Oh, I forgot something in the house." So next thing you know, I'm scooping the bowl and licking my fingers, and at the same time feeling like. Oh, like a breath of fresh air, but yet also feeling like, something's wrong about this. I shouldn't be doing this. And it's kind of one of my first, just vivid memories of the food just kind of rearing its head already. And I was the heavy kid, wore the husky pants. I come from a blended family. And for the longest time, food worked. It took the edge off. Loved sugar and floury things, and then it was about after high school. After all my embarrassments of socially awkward high school, I found alcohol, and alcohol and drugs did so much for me that I didn't need food nearly like I did before. And so I went on an alcohol after high school, a 10, 12 year alcohol run, where I destroyed my life in so many different ways, lost jobs, relationships, the drill, and got into rehab, got fired from my last job, went back to rehab after leaving rehab. And I was told immediately, like after rehab, the first thing you got to do is go to AA meetings. And I said, okay, let's go to AA meetings. And what did I find at the AA meetings? I found coffee and donuts. It was amazing. And birthdays were even better because there was birthday cakes. And every night before I went to bed, going home, I was living with my parents, and I would go to the kitchen and I'd get a bowl of cereal. And I remember the bowl of cereals were kind of small, and it'd be something that, again, take the edge off, change the way I feel, deal with my anxiety, my nervousness, and it wasn't long before the bowls of cereal just kept growing and growing and growing, and I gained weight rapidly in sobriety. And then I started doing some step work, didn't get too far. My sponsor moved, didn't pick up a new sponsor, and I said, "You know what I need? I need to make up for lost time for business and finances, and I got to start working, and I need to work 12 hours a day, and I've got to work on my financial insecurity and just be a workaholic. And I did that for like, a number of years, and I would use AA as like a support group, a social club, and never did my step work. Didn't have a sponsor. I was basically self-will run riot. But what I did have is I had Häagen-Dazs, I had Baskin-Robbins, I had pizza, I had everything that you could imagine to keep me going while I was working. And of course, I would try every diet, but I was the worst dieter there was. I couldn't even make it to lunch. Paid for so many different diets and just struggled. Just never a good dieter. And then and what happened was, I actually had a sponsee that was somewhat overweight, and he went to this program, and man, he lost like 25 pounds in 1 month. And another buddy of mine, we were both about 80, 100 pounds overweight. We were like looking at him like, dude, how are you doing this? And he said, it's see how, CEA how. So lo and behold, there we go to a meeting. And I can still remember the first meeting. We got a sponsor, bought a scale, but of course we had to have our last meal, and our last meal was like a doozy. Like we went to town and did really well in the beginning, lost a lot of weight, 25 pounds down my first month, and was feeling pretty good. And thank you. And I did that program for a period of time, probably never got more than 4 or 5 months. Lost the weight really quickly. It was a very constrictive food plan, and then I started lying about my food. I started, and once I did that, once I lied about my food, I started taking back other food, and that's how it starts. Like one little lie starts to a big lie, and then before you know it, I can't control the lies anymore. So, and then, finally comes to a point where I had to come back, and I had to, be a newcomer again. And it was so hard. My ego was starting to get big again. And, so I struggled with that program for about off and on about 8 to 10 years. And, it's probably one of my, I don't want to say regret, but it's just one of those things in my life that, God, I wish I knew what I knew then. I wish I knew now what I knew then, or something like that. I wish I'd gotten the program sooner with OA, just because, I had a son, and I tried to be present. I tried to do my best, but man, I was always on a diet, always restless and irritable. I was just a terror at home. And it's sad that I couldn't do better as a father, as a partner. So when things got tough and see how, I would bounce over to OA and try to find a sponsor because, hey, you got six food plans, dignity of choice. I can get into that. But unfortunately, one more time, I just did it my way. I did it half measures, didn't do it, didn't take sponsor direction very well. So again, I kept struggling in and out of see how, OA, back and forth, and again, getting to my top weight of 260. And then what happened? And then COVID came. And I actually went back to OA, went to virtual meetings. I found a sponsor, started working the steps. I found a sponsor that says, hey, we're going to work the steps quickly. And conceptually, that sounded great. And within 30 days, I was already like, this is great. I'm losing weight, doing step work, going to meetings. It's COVID. We don't have to go to work. So we can play golf. We can play pickleball. We can do all these other things and have fun. And I started missing a couple of meetings. I started taking my self-will back really quick. And my sponsor, he didn't tolerate it. He just said, you know what, George, I think you need a new voice. And oh, that crushed me because I thought I was doing it, but I really, really looking back on it, I really wasn't. It was another half measures. So lo and behold, for another year or two, I struggle with my weight. I struggle with my food, and I'm doing the best I can. I'm sober from alcohol and drugs, but yet I'm just struggling with the food. And then I think the thing that finally changed me was I got a divorce. My son ended up moving out. He was living with me half time, a part time. And he ended up moving back with his mom. And this was a year and a half, a little bit less than a year and a half ago. And about a year and a half ago. And all that was left was me and my thoughts in my house 24/7. I had no one else to blame. I didn't have responsibilities to take my son anywhere to volleyball or school or anything. And it was just me and my obsessive thoughts. What am I going to eat today? What am I not going to eat today? What am I going to not eat so that I don't gain weight so much so quickly? It was insanity. Just could not stop it. I couldn't quiet it, my mind. And so I endured 6 months of going to meetings and showing up late, leaving early, not identifying, not saying hello, not saying I'm compulsive eater, not saying I'm new, not, one more time, doing it my way again. Like I just cannot break these cycles. I am such a strong will. And so I finally go to this 100-pounder meeting. I hear something good about 100-pounder meeting, go to the Cornwall meeting. I went to the Cornwall meeting, which is on Saturday mornings. There was 300 people there. They had a parking lot after. They talked about the Focus on Permanent Recovery meeting on Sunday. I went to that one. And then a lady there, I had asked a question on the Saturday meeting about getting a sponsor or getting the 48 hours first. And then a lady at the Sunday meeting says, "Hey, I know somebody you can talk to for being a sponsor." And I said, "Okay, I'll call him." And I called him, and he put me in touch with a group of men, all 100 pounders, that practice sober eating. And I went on a Tuesday. It was March 6, 2025. And I had just been so tired and sick and tired of being tired. I just have been doing it my way for all my life, 6 months of just obsessing over food, can't get it right. I was done. And they did something they normally don't do. And they said, "If you're a sponsor, raise your hand." I got the name of one guy. And I called him after the meeting. I said, "Listen, Tom, I am desperate. I'm willing to do anything you say. Thank you. I no longer, want to run the show. I can't do this anymore." And I was at 220 pounds. And he says, "Okay, have you had breakfast yet?" So he gave me a plan. We had a plan for breakfast. And then I called him back. We had a plan for lunch. And then same thing for dinner. And he got me through the first day. And then I told him, like, I said, "Okay, I have one other issue." And I said, "Listen, I can get up in the middle of the night and dead sleep, go walk into the kitchen, go into the cabinets and find food. And before you know it, I'm stuffing food down my face. And, I don't know how to stop." And he says, and he paused and he thinks, "Okay." And he says, "You know what, George? I don't have any experience with that. So I'm going to suggest that you pray." And I did. I prayed so desperately because I had three abstinent meals, and that was the first time in years. And I was able to not go into the kitchen that night. I was able to wake up abstinently, and it started on day two. And we repeated the same thing that we did on day one, on day two. We did it meal by meal. And right as soon as we were done with the second day, the third day, this generous man, this gentleman, excuse me, says, "Okay, we're going to meet every day, Monday through Friday, for 30 minutes, and we're going to read for word of this big book, and we're going to do the steps." And I said, "Whatever you say, I am willing." And he helped me. He helped me work through the steps. I'm unemployed. And during COVID and during that time, unemployed, there's such a fine line between unemployed and I'm sorry, self-employed and unemployed. So I had a lot of time. So I started working my steps, doing all my readings, all my writings, making my phone calls, weighing and measuring my food. I did everything he was asking, most part. And I started making amends within the first month. within the second month, I'm sorry, and started making amends. I did my four step within the first month, and I started working it. And I started within 30 days, I started doing like a daily spiritual action that he wanted me to do with prayer and meditation. And and I would go to these things, and what I had to do, the very first thing I had to do was I had to fire myself from food decisions. Anytime I ever make food decisions, they always end poorly. It ends with me binging and being alone, closing my blinds, and just saying goodbye to the world, and I'm just eating, eating, eating. And so I looked at my past, and I was able to say, okay, you know what? I do need to fire myself from my food decisions. So now, as I report my food in the morning, if anything changes, I need to call it with one of the fellows and get it cleared. And this has worked for 459 days, where I stay on my food plan, and it's kind of told to me, it's like the food has to come number one. We have to make sure we don't take that first bite. We don't take control back. And then everything else with work, with relationships, with amends, everything, we do the best we can. And that's what the rest of the steps are for me to, like, if I step on someone's toes, I'm making amends. And then the other thing is we have this table where we bring our problems. And it's a sponsor style breakfast. And twice a week we come and we unload our burdens. Like, I'm struggling with my boss at work, or I'm struggling with the ex-wife, or and I ask, like, how do you navigate this abstinently? And we ask for their experience, strength, and hope. And it's all crosstalk, which is great because they give me their experience, strength, and hope. And I've found that, even at 60 years old, I truly don't know how to live life. I'm a man that has struggled with his life all of his life, and it's with great humility that I need them. I need you. I can't do this alone. I have tried my way for decades, and it's always gotten me the same result. And so this is what I do. Just like many of you, I wake up, I get on my knees, and I learn from the guys. And the guys tell me, like, one guy, Brian, says every day he wakes up and he gets on his knees and he thanks God for his life. He thanks God for his abstinence, and he thanks God for the OA program. And I do the same. And I learned from another guy, Noel. Like, he taught me to do a gratitude list every night before I go to bed. I've learned from my sponsor how to pray and meditate. And what's great about this is that my sponsor was an atheist, no, agnostic. He was an agnostic, and he didn't believe. And he is now my spiritual advisor, and how it turns out. And I'm so grateful for this man. I'm so grateful for all the men at the men's table, and of course all the meetings and the OA fellows, because I learned so much now. Like, by putting the food down, I always like the way Harlan says it in the Scottsdale meeting, like, we had to put the food down. And by putting the food down, like, now I can be teachable. In the past, I was still doing it my way with the food, and I never got anywhere with step work or anywhere, anything. And so today it's like I just try to follow direction. I try to understand that my own self-will is really what has gotten me into so much trouble. And so now I rely on God. I ask in my daily prayer, in my two-way prayer, God, what is your will for me today? And I really do try to carry that as best as I can, imperfectly. And I got taught two-way prayer here at the men's retreat. I have a difficult time, and I make a phone call, and I get taught grace. The man on the other line says, When I'm upset at someone, he says, "Well, why not give them grace? Wouldn't you want grace?" And of course I would. I've been given grace. And so at this age, it's amazing. At 60 years old, I still don't know how to run my life, and I need help, and I need you guys, and it's working. Finally, something that works in my life. It's wonderful. Just tons of gratitude. To be sober with the food, to be, you guys were talking about blood levels, yeah, my health has definitely improved. However, I have had some health issues as I get older, and I've learned not to be so selfish and self-centered that, guess what? People that get older have health issues. So I'm learning how to deal with this with some form of dignity. And I don't know. I'm really grateful to be here. I'm disappointed that we're going to do questions, because I'd rather hear your guys' share than questions, but I won't change the format. So that's all I have today. It's thank you so much for letting me share and be of service.
Thank you so much. Let's give our speaker, George, a big round of applause for a wonderful share.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
George. And now, yes, it is time to ask our speaker questions. As we're still recording, we ask that you put your questions in the chat and I will read them, and I will read them aloud. You're welcome to message them to me directly or to the group. We ask that you do not come off mute to ask your question or to thank the speaker verbally in this section, as we don't have permission to record other attendees. We'll allow up to 15 minutes for questions for a speaker, after which time we will have sharing until 15 minutes after the hour and then in our parking lot. All right, so you mentioned that you don't know how to live life. How have you started to live life? How much life has happened after giving up the alcoholic foods?
So, really good question. So now I have like this sanity around food. One of the biggest things my sponsor did, it was like a gift, it was like grace, is like when we were going over my first day food, I come to OA and see how with a diet mentality. I want to eat as little as possible, to lose weight as quickly as possible. And of course, my ego can grow as big as possible, as quickly as possible. And when we're talking about my breakfast, he said, "Okay, why don't you add this?" And then about lunch, he goes, "Yeah, why don't you have two of these?" Because like in the other food plan, I couldn't have carbs for 30 days. So, and again, we're dealing with 100-pound men. So there's a different mentality, I think, or philosophy, is that we want to get to a normal body weight, but we're not in any hurry. And that's the other thing. Like, I don't weigh myself often. I only weigh myself once a month. Again, I have fired myself from food decisions. So it's up to my sponsor to determine if I need to increase or decrease my food. So if I go up in weight, which I've gone up like a pound or two a couple of times, but I'm still within range. But if I continue to do that, then he would say, "Okay, let's look at your food and let's see where we can cut back." Just the fact that I don't have to make those decisions, I don't have to worry about all that stuff, is really freedom. Because every time I try to manage it, again, it's never ended well. So I think just the freedom of that. I'm one that likes the security of taking my food with me as often as possible. So I, you know, I 90, 95% of my meals are at home. And when I do go out, like I'll go out tomorrow, I'll bring my vegetables with me and pick up a protein. And then I pretty much eat the same thing most days. And that's a gift too. It makes it a lot easier. That's one thing that tells me, like, I know I'm not on a diet, because if I was on a diet, I couldn't eat the same thing for 2 days, much less, a year and 2 months. So hopefully that answered the question.
Yeah, thank you. And how do you work the spiritual aspect of your program on a daily basis?
So that's a great one. So when I first got here, I was talking to fellows just like you, and I was talking to a lady. She says, so I asked the same question. And she says, well, you know, every day when I get in the car, I put my seatbelt on and I connect with God. And every time I wake up in the morning and I say my prayers, and every time I have a meal, I have a pause and I connect with God. And I go, okay, I can do that. I'm going to do that. And it was like five different times throughout the day. And then at 30 days sober with the food, my sponsor says, all right, George, I really want to recommend that you have a daily devotion, daily time for prayer and meditation. And I'm even going to send you some prayers that you can recite. And I got so upset. I thought, wait a minute, I'm already doing the spiritual thing. What do you mean I got to spend 10, 15 minutes a day, of my busy life to connect with God? And he just, the way he explained it is like, I'm building this relationship with my higher power, like 10 minutes. And then of course it grew to 10 minutes at night too. But it's with daily connection with higher power and throughout the day. Like just like now it's like I was in the line the other day at the store and the line wasn't moving. I said, okay, I can get upset or I can get, try to be God and pretend like, hey, this should be moving faster, or this is a great opportunity to say some prayers. And that wouldn't have been me in the past. So, there I go, close my eyes and say some prayers and connect with God. And before you knew it, the line was moving. And then the thing that was really big for me is when I went to a retreat at 6 months sober with the food, the guys did a retreat and they taught me about two-way prayer as a workshop. And so I've been doing that for about 6, 8 months, 8 months. And it's been through groups, it's been through partners, it's kind of rotated, but it is a daily practice where I have quiet time, I do some reading, and I really do try to listen. I bring my burdens and I try to listen to what God is saying to me and speaking to me, and I write it down and I share it with another fellow in the program, and it helps. It helps a lot. Hopefully that helps.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What does it feel like to be teachable? How do you know if you're teachable or not?
Okay, so this is a good one. So what I learned at the men's table was like, okay, you're going to get direction, and if you want what we have, then you'll hopefully take that direction. But guess what? You can complain all you want. Like, it's okay to have a bad attitude, to hem and haw and cry about it and whine about it, but just do it. Just take the action. Take the action. You don't have to like it, but take the action. And before you know it, like, okay, you just take the action and you kind of take that little equation of like, but I don't want to do that. But it's okay. Just take the action. And that has helped a lot. And then there's going to be times where, the character defects will come into play, like sloth or procrastination and stuff. And those are the things that we like we'll take to our two-way prayer. Like, God, I'm really struggling with this business aspect of things, and I need your help. What is it that you want me? What is your will for me? What is it that you want me to learn from this? And that has helped get dialogue between me and my higher power, and to listen.
Thank you. And another question. Where did you find the group of 100-pounder guys who are happy to help you? Is this a public OA group?
So it's so they when they when you when they do it, they don't call it an OA meeting. They call it a sponsor style breakfast. And that's how it originally started. Like two or three guys would go to breakfast after a meeting, and one guy would say, like, yeah, I'm having a hard time at this at work, and my boss is on me, and how do I deal with this? And then one of the guys would say, well, listen, I went through that when I was abstinent, and this is how I dealt with it. Maybe this will help you. And now on any given day, there's like 70 guys there, and there's a lot of experience, strength, and hope. And I'm fortunate enough to live in Los Angeles. I live about 45 minutes away from one of the in-person meetings that a lot of the guys go to. So I do make the trek, a couple times a month to get out there. And okay, so they have 100 pounder. So any guy, any person, any man, and they have it for women too. There's a whole separate one for women, 100 pounders for sober eating. And so they do it for the men. And then there's also what they call the quarter pounder, which is for men. I don't know if women, but for sure men that don't have the burden of 100 pounds to lose, less than 100 pounds. So.
And how do you know when you are spiritually fit? Are you aware when not?
Oh, that's a good one. How do I know when I'm okay? So, I think what helps is staying connected and just being aware. I was at Pep Boys the other day. It's funny, even when doing something good, I'm trying to help my son with his automobile and doing some repairs and trying to be selfless. I still found myself in pride and ego coming back in. And lo and behold, after I made this sly remark to the guy that worked there, I said, "Oh man, this was gonna come back to me. I know it." And I already had set up a time to call my sponsor at like 5 minutes. So I told on myself. And he didn't say anything like, "Okay, think about it, see what you feel about it, see how it feels." And it didn't feel right. So when I picked up the car, one of the first things I said, "Hey, listen, I want to apologize for my sly remark. That was totally uncalled for." And I don't know. I mean, it just didn't sit right, didn't feel right. It's again, talking to the guys about uncomfortable feelings. Harlan from the Scottsdale meeting, he just talks about a buildup of emotions. And, it's important that I do spot check inventories. I don't want things to build up too much because before you know it, I'll be, reaching for the food to just kind of deal with that. And that can be, happy feelings and even sad feelings or any of those feelings.
What do you do if you catch yourself falling towards self-will now?
Wow, I do. I do. I do. Sometimes I find myself like, I do, like, it's interesting. I love to play pickleball and I love to play golf. And sometimes the meetings get in the way. And, I try to schedule them around it, but sometimes it doesn't always work. And so sometimes I'll dodge out like 15 minutes early and, it doesn't feel comfortable because I know how much this program and these people have done for me. And I really try to be of service whenever I possibly can. The guys that are struggling on the meeting, I always try to take their number down and try to reach out to them and just give them a vote of support and confidence. And I just encourage them to do it with us, not by themselves. But yeah, I honestly believe I'll always have this struggle of self-will coming back, and I just that's why it's so important to stay close to the meetings, stay close to you guys, make phone calls, be accountable.
What has surprised you most about your recovery?
Oh, wow, you're gonna make me cry. So I'm also in therapy. I guess the biggest like revelation is like, okay, I'm not that piece of junk, trash, just worthless. I think through working the steps and working with my connection with my higher power and working the two-way prayers that like I am a child of God, and not only does he love me, he really wants the best for me. And I really do suffer from a disease of addiction, and I want more of everything. It's not just the food. Food was just like one symptom. I think that I have a disease. I'm grateful to really know it today. Again, man, I sure wish I could have got this earlier, but I didn't. But I got it. I'm here now, and I'm working on it. And for that, there's like so much gratitude. So when whenever there's anything that I can do to give back, I can't. I will.
How do you let go of perfection? Perfectionism, sorry.
You know, the two-way prayer really, really helps because what I hear back is George, son, my father, he'll say, like, my precious little boy, he'll say, take the action, lean on to your brothers, and just do the very best you can, and I'll take care of the results, you know? And one of the guys, isn't it? And one of the guys, Chiwindu, great guy, he really helped me when I was going through some issues with a rental property here in Los Angeles. And he asked me, he says, you know, George, when you take the third step, are those just words? Or is that truly, truly like your belief? Like you're turning things over, your will in your life. And he really was able to walk me through what I was so holding on to. And he just reminded me that, you know, God is my employer today. I am his employee, and he takes care of me. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful experience. It's all these new experiences that I can have sober with the food today is a true miracle. Thank
Thank you
you.
so much. Thanks for
Olivia.
your sharing your answers.